become much more complex. There's so much that the church wants us to learn, to experience, to come to know in the depth of our heart, and to be ready to enter with Jesus into this Paschal mystery this year. For the sake of the church and for the sake of the whole world. We have in this first reading this vision of Ezekiel. Many of Ezekiel's visions center on the temple, as you know. And his vision later on in chapter 47, which we're reading now, is of this temple that will be. And I don't have time to go through it all now. But let's take a few. I want to just touch on these things. You can think about them, and they'll open up for you. Do you remember what Jesus said about himself in chapter 2 when he cleaned out the temple in John? He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up." Now he was speaking of the temple of his body. That's the second time that there's been an allusion to Jesus himself as the place where God reveals himself, the place where God is adored, the place where God blesses. It's Jesus who's the temple. Here we have this Ezekiel's vision of this eschatological temple. And out of its side is coming water. Which means that this temple now is the rock of the desert, now made stable and solid, and people live from this water. But this will turn out to be the Holy Spirit. Isn't this the water that came from the side of Christ? Jesus is the temple. There's more to this in Zechariah's vision in chapter 14 of his, but I'm just trying to alert you now. You see that these things are starting to come. And as they come together in us, you see, we're meant to bring... It's a delight for the mind. But this is not a delight. I mean, it is a delight, but it's to bring us into living contact with the water that comes from Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit. Starting, you see, the depth of what we're dealing with is so great that the church now starts to bring in these symbols, these signs, to help us enter into what we're celebrating. At the same time, starting with chapter 5 in John, which we'll have for the next 3 days, one section of John's, of chapter 5, three times, you know, one each day. This was a feast of the Jews. Oh, a feast of the Jews is what? It's a remembrance of what God has done, brought into the celebration of the people, so that it happens again. That's the anamnesis, the calling to mind. Do this in memory of me. Now he talks about this pool. It's got five sides. It does. Oh, well, this is John the Mystic. He's talking about, you know, the law, the five sides. No, no, no. I've seen that pool. They dug it up. It's right there. It's got one pool like this, and then the other one is not completely squared with it. It's over to the left of it, as you look at it. In fact, they were just working on it. There was an article out very recently about the latest excavations there. We don't know what it was. It's a pool. Somehow the waters, you know how water under the ground can come, bubble up. And so people thought, that moment you can get healed. Jump in. So they all were hanging around this pool, which had, you know, big porticos. So, you know, it was a pool, but surrounding it was, you know, built on the side of it, on the sides of it, was a portico. Maybe more than two stories high, certainly one. And they were all there sick. Now this may be a pre-Canaanite healing place, huh? Then taken over by the Jews, then taken over by Jesus. And he said, you don't need this. My word is enough. Take up your mat and walk. So he rose, he took up his mat, and he walked. Baptism. The power. When the word comes to the element, there's a sacrament. Remember I gave you that lovely little text of Augustine? You don't remember. It's all right. This isn't a class. You remember. You pass. Yes. Accedit verbum ad elementum et fit sacramentum. The word is the whole gospel. Comes to this water, and now there's a sacrament. Then there's this very ominous line. Now, that day was a Sabbath. And now, get ready for conflict. For two more days now, Jesus is going to be defending himself. And, of course, winning. But he's going to defend this act by revealing who he is in the Trinity. That day was a Sabbath. So you're not allowed to carry anything on. That's in Jeremiah. It's against the law to carry stuff around on the Sabbath. That got to be very organized, you know, as the oral tradition was beginning to be put into writing. And so we have written a list of things you cannot do on the Sabbath. One is to carry a burden, which is in Jeremiah already. Okay. The man who told made me well said, take up your mat. Who's he? I don't know. Then Jesus finds him. And he says, look, you are well. Do not sin anymore. The crippling power of sin. Isn't this exactly what happened when they lowered that man down through the roof? And he said what to that man? Son, your sins are forgiven. And they all got very mad, remember? What is easier to do? Sin is crippling, and very often in the scriptures, crippling evokes sin. And so then they found out it's Jesus. The Jews began to persecute and perhaps prosecute. This is going to be a lawsuit now. See, prosecute this man. He broke the Sabbath. The very next line, which one we're going to look at tomorrow, says, the Father works until now, and so do I. Who is he? The Father works until now. The Father works on the Sabbath. He holds the whole world together. He gives light, he judges, life, he judges, and so do I. And they got it. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God, which is exactly what he did. And now starts this incredible tension where Jesus, in his mercy, defends himself. He defends himself by describing what his relationship is for all eternity with the Father. And then, the third part, he adduces witnesses. I have one who witnesses, the Father. So now we're being led in to the sense of tension. But there's so, you see how many serving us, think about this today, pray about this today. You see, this is Ezekiel's prophecy, then completed by Zechariah, when it's the whole city of Jerusalem and the water is pouring out from it. And what is that water? That's the water from the rock in the desert. But it's really the Holy Spirit coming from Jesus.